This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
Well, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. So the Biden administration made an announcement today to deliver, quote, equitable relief to small businesses impacted by the coronavirus outbreak. And they want to focus on those who might have had difficulty obtaining forgivable loans and minority-owned businesses. So this Paycheck Protection Program, whether you qualify or not, it does affect you directly or indirectly, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the changes he's making is he wants to make sure that those who didn't get access gets access now, which I agree with. And he's going to target smaller companies and smaller businesses, which is great on one end because I think a lot of smaller businesses had difficulty accessing the loan because bigger businesses have accountants and lawyers and maybe a bank within their, you know, on their property, so they were able to get things moving fast. Meanwhile, small businesses where the person's trying to work and then at the same time fill out all the paperwork, many of them didn't even get any Paycheck Protection Program money first time around. Just to review what the Paycheck Protection Program money was, is back in, I believe it was April, Congress passed a bill for there to be money that could go straight to small business companies for them to keep the paychecks going. And what they wanted was employers to not lay off people, and then they needed unemployment. They wanted employers to still pay their paychecks. So that would free up unemployment. It would hopefully keep the business afloat and keep people working. What threw a monkey wrench into that was a few things. One is, some of the businesses were closed. So, in our case, we couldn't reopen till, I think, May 9th, which was early, considering. And you had to use the money within 8 weeks. So if you were in California and the lockdown was indefinite, then all you did was keep your employees on for 8 weeks and they still got laid off. So it was a waste of money. And so I had started a petition, and I think a lot of other people, the Small Business Administration, asked Congress to say, look, can you at least let us wait to start the money till we could open up? And the reason why that was advantageous is because if you were only allowed to open up at 25% capacity or 50% capacity, you're operating at a loss. So rather than just give up because you're operating at a loss, this money was going to help pay for originally 75% employee and staff, 25% rent. Apparently a lot of businesses are like, look, we can't afford our rent. We can't afford supplies. So they changed it to 60-40. So 60% of the money has to go to the employees. 40% could go to rent because it doesn't make sense you paying somebody when you can't pay for the roof over your head. And it was enough to cover 8 weeks. They calculated it on 2.5% of payroll. 2.5 times payroll and of a month. And then that's how they were able to figure out, well, then that gets you 2 months plus a little extra to help with rent and all that. So it wasn't a lot of money, but it was enough to get us through the few weeks that we thought we were only going to be closed down for. And it was fantastic because a lot of businesses were able to stay open. So the next round of Paycheck Protection Program went to people that hopefully couldn't get it the first time around. That, I think, got delivered in the summer. But there were still people that couldn't get it. But here's the thing. This money wasn't just a gift. This money was a loan. Because if somebody was caught using it for a car, you know, or not using it to pay their staff and follow all the rules, they have to pay back at 1% interest. Those people who did everything by the book are still waiting for the loan to get forgiven. So there's been a lot of issues, but there's still been a while. The SBA had allowed small businesses that received the PPP loans of $150,000 or less to fill out a simpler single-page form. But, I mean, you had companies that got millions of dollars. And so I agree. I think the government has a right to know where that money went. So now, with the next round of Paycheck Protection Program, the White House released a statement saying that they are going to fund businesses with fewer than 10 employees by 60%. Rural businesses also will hopefully get priority. And then today they announced a 14-day period that begins Wednesday that allows businesses with fewer than 20 employees a chance to sign up for the loans. The administration said that it's not uncommon that these businesses need more time to file the appropriate paperwork. The statement said that self-employed individuals will have a chance to qualify for more financial support. So they want to carve out $1 billion of this to sole proprietors, home contractors, beauticians, the majority of which are owned by women and people of color. Now, Biden had said that he said small businesses are the engine of our economic progress, but they're getting crushed. Apparently, 400,000 small businesses have closed since the pandemic began nearly 1 year ago. So Kamala Harris and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen earlier this month spoke at a virtual meeting with officials representing 140 chapters of the Black Chambers of Commerce around the country, and this was part of the administration's ongoing effort to win support for Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief program. So, you know, the road to recovery is going to be slow, but infusing money into businesses that are trying to abide by the rules, you know, it's the government, I believe, and I understand people are like, where is this money coming from? But you can't tell a company to close or only operate at 25% and not give them relief. You know, it's one thing for economic times to be kind of tough and, you know, people need to market or find a niche. This is, we have a niche, we have a market, we have a successful business, and we are being told to turn business away. Somebody's got to infuse money into these small businesses. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, don't go away.
This is sponsored by Pharmacyclics, an AbbVie company, and Janssen Oncology. While the pandemic has altered our regular way of living, it's still important to work closely with your doctor. Did you know that chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL, a type of slow-growing cancer, is the most common form of leukemia in adults? It's important to keep your doctor's appointments, as some CLL patients do not have symptoms, but learn of their diagnosis through routine blood tests. Dennis, diagnosed with CLL in 2013, urges patients to talk to their doctor and be proactive in the conversation, sharing.
I try to think ahead. It's a definite teamwork between you and your doctor. You're going to get the best results if you ask the right questions and your doctor knows that you are a part of the team.
Don't let the pandemic keep you from being proactive about your health. Keep your regular checkups and learn about CLL by visiting knowyourcll.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day. And our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Dr. Dolly is show 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communication Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniels working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly is show. All right, so Nina wrote over the weekend if she should get a pulse oximeter at the house and where can she get one inexpensively. And so I thought I should probably talk to you guys about pulse oximeters. Those are those little things that people put on their fingers. I wish I had one to show you guys, but it's radio, so many of you aren't watching. I do a Facebook Live, but the majority of you are listening to me. Well, I'm assuming you're listening to me, unless you fell asleep. But the pulse oximeter is kind of like the fifth vital sign. I used to do a pulse oximeter on everybody in my office, because even though we could test the pulse by feeling your radial artery, you can do the carotid, you know, but these little pulse oximeters, they test the oxygenation of your blood, and they also give you a pulse. So I figured, You know what? If you're using that to test the pulse, I might as well know what the oxygen status is. And because I had a lot of patients who were COPDers, had emphysema, lung cancer patients, older individuals coming in with pneumonia, bronchitis, I like getting a pulse ox. And it was a fifth vital sign. So when COVID happened and the pandemic happened, and it still is happening, but thank God things are getting a little better, we would use pulse oximetry for those people in the hospital, obviously, to measure how they're doing and how they're responding to therapy. And many people were able to buy these at home so they could monitor at home. When you're told that you have COVID, but you're not bad enough for the hospital, you want to do something. And people keep calling me up on telemedicine platforms going, what do I do? I need to do something. What should I be doing? Yeah, you can watch your oxygen. You can watch your temperature. You can see how you feel. Some people are doing that test where you hold your breath for 10 seconds. If you start to cough, it means you have COVID. Not entirely, but it's a sign that you might have some lung inflammation. So the pulse oximeter became very, very popular. Pulse oximeters used to be really expensive. And then all of a sudden, about maybe 10 years ago, they started to drop below $100. I've seen some pulse oximeters for $45 to $60. Of course, the higher the pay you pay, sometimes the better you have. But these pulse oximeters are very, very simple. They use an LED light and an infrared light. And they shoot the light through your finger. Now, oxygenated blood versus deoxygenated blood deal with the absorption of the light differently. So there's a sensor that picks up. See, I think oxygenated blood, the infrared goes straight through. Let me just double check that really quickly here. Let me see if I have that. Sorry. Yeah. So the oxygenated blood, it absorbs more infrared, but more red light goes through. Whereas deoxygenated, more infrared goes through it, it absorbs more red light. And so the sensors pick up on this, make a reading, and then can tell the medical provider or you where your number is. We want you, we'd ideally love you, 98, 99, 100. But as long as you're above 95, we're not going to call the paramedics on you. But once you start to dip into the 94, we know that there's an issue. If you're dipping lower, we might admit you overnight. So depending on other circumstances. So I get nervous when you're 92 and below. I'm not going to mess around with that. And many times it's you need to take a deep breath. Many times, if your fingers are cold. But one thing that has plagued us in the medical community is how a pulse oximeter does not work the same on everybody. And those with more pigment in their skin might give us a false sense of a higher oxygenation reading. Now, this isn't anything new. We've learned about this in the medical community for a while. Because I know people saw that report come out. It's kind of come out throughout the year saying, guys, you got to be careful with pulse oximetry in black patients and some Latino patients and, people with dark nail polish. And the pulse oximeters are good, but there are limitations. And so we in medicine know not to treat somebody like a number. Now, mind you, during the pandemic, things might have gotten a little bit overwhelming, chaotic. So we are aware that African Americans and people of color suffered more during this pandemic. They were quicker to get cytokine storm. A majority of them, a higher percentage of them died. And so one thing that doctors want to look at is, could pulse ox be to blame? And the pulse oximetry, if a medical provider just looked at their finger or looked at the monitor and saw 95, and they're like, all right, you're fine, or 96, you're good for now, and walked out of the room, they should have at least thought of maybe a point or two difference. The limitations of these things are unfortunate because it really depends on also the blood flow to the fingers. So let's say you have somebody going into sepsis or septic shock. Sepsis is where you have an infection that goes throughout the blood. So let's say there's a bacterial infection in a hospital patient, right? Blood gets shunted from the fingers to the central part, the heart, the brain. So we've also learned that somebody in septic shock, their pulse oximeter might not be, again, as accurate. Now, blood gases can be picked up other ways. Pulse oximeter is one of the easiest, weeniest ways to examine you. All right, we do something called blood gases, where we go straight into your radial artery, take a sample, and check the oxygen status there. So in the hospital setting, if you have a condition where we're scared, we're not going to just rely on a superficial monitor. We're going to do a more invasive test. So studies in the past, because when people ask, well, how do they know that the oxygen wasn't read right? Well, because there's a way to compare. So in one study, I think it was in the New England Journal of Medicine. Let me double check. Let me see here. I want to give credit where credit's due. Or it might have been in University of Michigan. These were researchers, it's in the New England Journal of Medicine, where they looked at 10,000 pairs of oxygen saturation by pulse ox versus taking the arterial blood gases. And they found that it was less accurate, and I have some tables so you could see, in black patients. So that's something that needs to be reminded, and medical students need to be taught, and obviously nursing students. Everybody's taught this, but I think it has to be reinforced. But we in the medical community, we're aware of that discrepancy. My issue is people are buying these devices and using them at home. A patient had called, and his wife was on the phone, and the wife started, spewing out all sorts of medical terminology, medical equipment. His pulse oximetry reading is 95. His pulse is this. His pulse is this. Blood pressure is this. I go, oh, great. Thank God. Okay, so you're in the medical field. No. No, I'm not. I just bought all this equipment. Now, that's cool. Okay? I mean, I love the fact that we've been, making everybody pseudo-doctors these days. But we can't, as physicians or anybody else, think that just because you have some of the equipment means you're interpreting it right. And so I can't say that if you're black and you have a 95 reading to just knock off 2 points. I can't say that. Because there's a chance that pulse ox may be correct. But what I can say is don't trust a little superficial machine, a monitor. Okay? You're not a number. Numbers don't define your health. They may be indicators to something, but if you're not feeling well and you're having trouble breathing or you're having chest pain and you're like, well, I don't feel right, but I'm looking at the number, who cares? Go in and get seen. I don't care what the number says. You know how many people with severe COVID didn't have a fever? And I tell them, look, I think you need to go to the hospital. Like, no, but I don't have a fever. I don't give a heart and dude if you have a fever or not. Some people might have a fever. You not having a fever doesn't mean you're in the clear. Yes, we use fevers as indicators. But like, you know how many appendicitis cases I've found? And they had no fever. They had an appetite that day. So here they have an appendiceal abscess that could have burst. So we've unfortunately been so transparent with what we do that there's been a lot of misinterpretation. And if there are limitations on our equipment, especially with certain populations, we need to bring that up. We also need to stop in medicine trying to be politically correct and saying we're all the same. We're all the same. You, I, there's no color or race. There, in medicine, you have to be aware of somebody's background because otherwise you're going to be treating two people with completely different genetic makeups, right? You'll bias them that way. And so we need to realize that everybody has differences and they might trigger tests differently, especially if they're calibrated on only one type of population. 1-877-DOCTOR.
Dr. The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Supreme Court on Monday threw out a series of remaining challenges to election processes and election results in several states left over from the recent presidential election cycle. The lawsuits dismissed were in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. The power is back on for most Texas residents, but massive electricity bills, broken water pipes, and flooding could leave many in financial turmoil. Some estimates predict the cost could surpass the $19 billion in insurance losses from Hurricane Harvey. Houston resident Tabitha Charlton's house flooded during the recent storm. She also had a claim during Hurricane Harvey.
Dealing with the insurance company is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. I can deal with the damage. That could be fixed. But another 3.5-year battle with the insurance company, I don't have it in me.
That audio courtesy of CBS News, USA Radio News. The Senate Judiciary Committee is grilling President Biden's pick to be America's next top cop.
Judge Merrick Garland is testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee for his confirmation hearing to become Attorney General.
With respect to foreign terrorist attack, I was sitting in my office, arriving at my office as the first plane hit the Trade Center, and I was sitting in my office and could see smoke rising over the Pentagon. I can assure you that this is top of mind for me.
Merrick Garland was a Supreme Court nominee in the Obama era that lasted 293 days. He was denied with an outcome of no action by the Senate. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Apple is leading the world in smartphone sales. In the fourth quarter of 2020, the tech company shipped out almost 80 million more smartphones than any other company, including rival Samsung. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Guys, we are back on Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So a very interesting NBC News poll came out showing that there is an even split between the GOP loyal to Trump or the GOP loyal to the party. And there has been a lot of discussion that President Trump might form his own party. I don't think it's going to happen. Just like with the Democrats, you have the liberal Ocasio-Cortez, Sanders, and then you have the more moderates. I'm not sure who's an example of a moderate in the Democratic Party right now. I think it would be Gabby Gifford? Gabby, the Hawaiian senator. I need to double check, or congresswoman. So Gabby Gifford was from Tucson. Tulsi, Gabby, yeah. So there's an NBC News poll from January showed that there's an even split among Republicans. 46% said they consider themselves supporters of Trump more than the party. 46% said the opposite. And so, in terms of supporting Trump impeachment, obviously you have the Trump Republicans and the party Republicans. The party Republicans, 12% supported it. Less than 1% didn't. Disapproval of Trump's performance, 16% of party Republicans didn't like his performance in this NBC poll versus 2% of Trump Republicans. Say Trump is solely, mainly responsible for January 6th. Trump Republicans not so convinced, 19% of party Republicans. Antifa, feeling Antifa is mainly responsible, 61% of Trump Republicans, but 39% of party Republicans. Say 2020 votes were not counted accurately, 97% of Trump Republicans feel that, 67% of party Republicans. Say Biden did not legitimately win, 96% of Trump Republicans, 57% of party Republicans. So there's some obvious big disparities between the party and Trump. And, where the future of the Republican Party or the future of the Democratic Party will go is a little bit up in the air, because anything that we thought was kind of commonplace or tradition has changed. It is now just there, just because something traditionally happens or there's trends, it's different now. COVID, the pandemic, the recession, possible depression, mail-in ballots, it's really all up in the air. So when some of you have asked, do I really think Trump, is going to be president again? I don't think so. I don't think so for a variety of reasons. I think I think there's going to be a few things at play. One is mail-in ballots, again, can, unfortunately offer a lot of, room for there to be, change with what you would think consistently would happen with people going to the polls. And that's all I'm going to say on that topic. I think that if it ends up being Kamala Harris as the Democratic runner-up, or the Democratic nominee for the 2024 election, I think the Republicans are going to want to, I'm not advising them, but I see them pushing for a female, and maybe a minority female to run against Kamala Harris. So I just don't see, Trump being the nominee. But why? I keep getting asked, why are people still supporting Trump? Why was there so much love for Trump when originally there wasn't? So if you go back to the primary, back in 2016. When you go back to the primary, even 2015, Trump was not a favorite. They thought he was too crass. They thought that he was had too many skeletons in the closet. They thought that he wouldn't fit the political mold. And the majority of the GOP candidates did not want him to win. They thought he could not represent the party. They thought that it could be chaotic. He could be unpredictable. And they really feared that they could lose a lot of the religious rights, that they could lose, a lot of traditional traditionalists, in the Republican Party. However, he scored high in the ratings. People watch. I've never watched the primary debates. And man, I watched each one. They were funny. I was giggling. He was making fun of Rand Paul, which wasn't appropriate. He was making fun of the moderators. But what made him intriguing is he wasn't the typical politician. And he said what a lot of people were thinking. And he promised to do things that kind of gave you a sense that he might really do it. He might, make some changes. He might boost the economy. And so Trump looked like he had nothing to lose. And so when people hear the same thing that they hear out of, and I'm not saying that's always good, but just if I could be objective here, when people are looking at politicians and they're like, oh, we need to do this, and, you know, we're going to vaccinate this many people, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and all that, or they make a claim that, well, duh, you know, we bought a bunch of vaccines, you know, we're vaccinating this many million, it's not really a big promise. They start to realize that there's a lot of rhetoric and politicians are being politicians. And Trump just wasn't the typical politician. And if he said he was going to do something, he was going to do something. If he thought something was unfair. I mean, he was the first person to say, look, the news is fake. He might not have been the first person to say it, but finally the conversation came out that the media is unfair, that it's a poop show when it's his press conferences, but not when it's Obama's or Biden's. And so he started to, you know, he was finally one of the first presidents to go, look, the media is really biased. And so he brought things up to light that a lot of people said, you know what, he's not wrong. Now, when it came to the riots in January 6th, all right, there's a lot of debate on what happened there, and it was obviously probably one of the worst moments in our history, as well as his presidency. But then there's debate on, you know, was it really him? You know, I mean, was he flattered by there being people mad that wanted him to win? Was he? Yeah, he probably was flattered. Did he incite the riot? That's up for you guys to decide. So the GOP is trying to figure out, what do people want? And unfortunately, they are given information from the media, and they're trying to take information from the election. Now, when you look at the votes, and you look at 70 million votes, or I forget what the final vote tally was, it obviously looks like whether the votes for Biden were 1,000% accurate or not. And there's always dead people that vote, so it's never fraud-free. But if you really think that all those people really, really voted for Biden and Biden won, it still shows millions wanted Trump. Now, did they want Trump because they were afraid of certain ideals coming from the Democratic Party, or did they really, really like Trump? This was one of the first elections, you know, which is why Romney lost and why McCain lost, because it wasn't that people were voting for a party. There were people that really, really liked Trump and really believed in him. And so what the Republicans are going to need to do if they want to be successful is, what was it about Trump that made people like him so much? And it's not the narcissism, because they're all narcissistic. You know, they can all talk a good talk. Chris Christie, you know, can be upfront and unfiltered. But it's the, you know what, this is wrong. This doesn't make sense. You know, it's unfair. And this is what we're going to do. I mean, his approach. So, which means if the Republicans are going to go for somebody who's kind of, you know, okay, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, just kind of please the media, and I'm going to, it won't work. So I think it might not be so much Trump, but how he acted as a politician or a non-politician. 1-877-DOC-SOLLY, don't go away.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542, and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
This is sponsored by Pharmacyclics, an AbbVie company and Janssen Oncology. While the pandemic has altered our regular way of living, it's still important to work closely with your doctor. Did you know that chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL, a type of slow-growing cancer, is the most common form of leukemia in adults? It's important to keep your doctor's appointments, as some CLL patients do not have symptoms, but learn of their diagnosis through routine blood tests. Dennis, diagnosed with CLL in 2013, urges patients to talk to their doctor and be proactive in the conversation, sharing.
I try to think ahead. It's a definite teamwork between you and your doctor. You're going to get the best results if you ask the right questions and your doctor knows that you are a part of the team.
Don't let the pandemic keep you from being proactive about your health. Keep your regular checkups and learn about CLL by visiting knowyourcll.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Remember last week I told you the two Florida women dressed up as grannies to get their shot? Well, some footage has been released of them avoiding arrest. I think the deputies were very, very cool. But there's some body cam footage. It's on my Facebook, Twitter, and on my website at drdahlia.com. And on my blog at drdahliawordpress.com, where the two Florida women who were age 33 and 44 were caught as they came back for their second vaccine. after finagling their first shot dressed as grannies. And it's interesting because I'm looking at the way they're dressed. One woman, she has a little bonnet. She has a mask and shield, and it looks like she's in this little red outfit. But, I mean, I could tell she looks young. How did this happen the first time around, you know? The other one, she looks like she's in a Mickey Mouse shirt. She has a youthful blouse on and obviously a youthful pitch, a youthful look. I mean, not to stereotype, but, you know, older women, the breasts aren't as perky, you know? And so, you know, if I wanted to try to dress and look younger, I would be, you know, obviously trying to find a very, very form-fitting bra, and so they just don't look older. They don't. But WESH, according to WESH, Dr. Raul Pino, the director of the Florida Department of Health in Orange County, reported, so yesterday we realized a couple of young ladies came dressed up as grannies to get vaccinated for a second time. They said, I don't know how they escaped for the first time, but they came vaccinated. The bonnets, the gloves, the glasses, they were probably in their 20s. So in the video, you can hear the officer chastise them, telling them they were lucky they were not getting arrested. He really ripped them a new one. And they also told them that they came back to the premises, they would get arrested. And they talked about if you come here, this far, any part of the property, they would get arrested. And the officer emphatically told them, wait your turn. Now, authorities failed to spot the two disguised women when they arrived to the Orlando Convention Center a few weeks prior to get the first dose. Upon their return, apparently they tipped the radar of some fire rescue workers helping screen the vaccine recipients. So it's interesting because, you know, I love critical thinkers. And so one of you had reached out saying, really arrested? Really? And that's, I did find that kind of intriguing also. So on one end, they took cuts. They impersonated somebody. You know, they took the shots away from two older people, you know, or essential workers that could have, you know, that were at higher risk. And so I do agree that there should be some sort of ramifications because we just don't want, you know, people cutting the lines. We do need some sort of law and order when it comes to this. But on the flip side, is it worth somebody getting arrested? And then are they going to have a fair trial? Because you have some people out there that really, I mean, they've changed. I'd be a little worried about a trial of my peers because people are turning other people in when it comes to masks. I mean, they're turning other businesses in. I have seen some behavior that is just shocking. And so I'm not saying they'd get fried. I mean, I don't think they would get the electric chair or anything like that. But, these women are being pretty vilified, and I just don't know if they would get a fair trial. And you know, is you coming onto Orlando, you know, trying to get a shot to save your life, is that what's drawing them to crime? You know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of debate on how we look at crime. Because some crime is people are just trying to steal some bread to feed their family. Others is, no, they're raping, they're murdering, they're stealing, and they're using the money for, you know, drugs or whatever. But and somebody could even go so far as, yeah, but drugs are an addiction, and they're trying to treat themselves, and they're trying, so. But, you know, I was surprised by the arrest, but I guess if you impersonate something, again, we don't really have laws in the books for this. We don't really have a precedence. But what they did do, I think, was crappy. And I think there does need to be some ramifications. Now, apparently, since the COVID vaccine rollout, fraud has been rampant. So there's been people trying to buy shots, bribe, cheat, get access to the vaccine before their turn. According to USA Today, authorities are on the lookout for medical providers asking patients to undergo unnecessary tests and procedures. So that stinks. So somebody's coming in for a vaccine, and I guess there's some doctors out there trying to make some extra money saying, well, we need to do this test on you first. OK, Okay, that's not cool. There's bad actors, they say, seeking personal information from unsuspecting victims in order to fraudulently bill Medicare. Fraudsters, they said, are asking people to pay out of pocket to obtain the vaccines. Nope, the vaccines are supposed to be free. Marketing representatives are offering wholesale shipments of vaccines in exchange for fees. So there's, we knew this vaccine rollout would be a little bit of a cluster when it came to the, I think the health department is doing amazing. I think the first responders, I think the medical facilities are doing an amazing job considering. But we knew that this would be open to fraud and people doing some real, real shady stuff when it comes to the vaccine. And I'm here to tell you the vaccine should be free. Nobody should be asking for, personal information. I don't think you have to give your social security card. So you don't necessarily have to be a U.S. citizen. You give your name, you give your birthday, you give your email, you give an address, you give a phone number, because if there is any sort of, adverse event, they want to be able to find you, or if they, I guess, are aware of any news that they need to report to you. And then your card has your birthday, the type of vaccine you got, the lot number. So you're not really supposed to be giving your, not supposed to be fingerprinted, nothing like that. So anything like that doesn't make sense. But, it's interesting how you have a couple people that are so scared of COVID that they are going out of their way to defraud the system. Now, mind you, we do have a lot of people desperate because they have trips coming up. And that's going to change some things around. There's a lot of people out there that have no desire to get the vaccine. No, they don't fear COVID. But for them to travel where they need to travel, or for them to work and be able to work and do what they need to do, they have to show proof that they're vaccinated. So I think you will see more fraud. I think you're going to see fake cards, which is why they're asking us to not put our cards on the social media and do these selfies, because they're worried that we're going to be, letting people see what the cards look like and they can make copies. And honestly, they're just simple printed cards. I think the government is going to have to make them a little bit more unique, because I think they're very easy to replicate, unfortunately, and easy to lose, by the way. They're easy to lose, so don't lose them. See, the reason why I was going to take a picture and put it on social media, because everybody knows my birthday anyway, but I was going to put it on there because I wanted proof, because I knew I was going to lose my card. So I'm like, at least I could print it, or I could, and then the world could see, look, I got my shot. So don't be accusing me of not. There's my card. There's me getting it. But, unfortunately, it's doesn't always work that way. So just be careful out there. There should be no reason for anybody to ask your personal information. And if you do see somebody that looks pretty perky, has an arm that does not look aged or weathered, yeah, they're probably somebody trying to pretend. Now, it's interesting because teachers are supposed to be getting vaccinated, and teachers are kind of a younger group. So I don't know why these people felt like they had to go through that, degree of fraud. 1-877-DOLLY, don't go away.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy, because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.